26. And what we're talking about here, these scriptures here talk about something that this world lacks today. And this is something more than what they lack. This is talking about a perfect peace. A perfect peace. Not just any peace, but a perfect peace. There's a difference there. You can have peace about a situation, but to have a perfect peace is something different. And it's what God wants us to have. Isaiah chapter 26, we're going to read verses 3 and 4 of Isaiah chapter 26. And we were looking over some different things that can help us to keep that perfect peace. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust." God, we pray that you will bless the reading of your word today. Help us, God. Lord, as we share this, God, that it'll fall in a good place within our hearts. Lord, that we can have that perfect peace, Lord, that your word talks about. We thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." We all want that. But who's it for? Who is it for? It says, "For those that have their whose mind is stayed on thee." Amen. Our mind is sustained by him. We keep our minds on God. It doesn't mean that we have to go into a dark dungeon somewhere and be a monk and only study the word of God and have no communication with the outside world or society that's going on. But our minds can be stayed on Jesus, even in this world that we're living in. When you look at the woes and the bad news that's out there, amen, we as a children of God, because we have a perfect peace, it puts a shout down in our hearts and in our souls, not because of the bad things that's going on, but we begin to rejoice because we know that the coming of the Lord is nigh. Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, to lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. Not to put your heads down, not to put your faces to the ground in sadness and in woe, but to lift up your heads, amen, because your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is coming. And I shared last week, according to the word of God, and we can already see it happening in our world. Jesus said, in the last days, it's going to wax, or in other words, it's going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get better and better. Amen. In the worldly system, it's not going to happen that way. And why is that? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but one of the main reasons would be is because this world and this world system, they refuse to acknowledge God. They're going in their own direction. They are their own God. They have answers for everything. And it's addressed in these verses that I read here. In verse 5, amen, it says, "For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low." We are living in a very proud and arrogant country today. We think that every problem within our country, not we, but because we're part of the country, I'll say we, the leaders of our country, think that every problem in our country can be solved by throwing more money at it. That's not going to solve it. Amen. The way to solve the problems in our country is for them to begin to acknowledge God. Amen. And to take him into account. To take his word into account. To involve that in the decision making that they do there. Amen. In the capitals of our country and in our national capital, they need to acknowledge God, because if they don't, the word of God says, amen, he bringeth those that are on high, he bringeth them low, he layeth it low, even to the ground, he bringeth it even to dust. We're headed for a lot of trouble in this world. This world's headed for a lot of trouble. But in the midst of all of this, God can give us a perfect peace. I was just talking with somebody here about a week ago. Amen. We're all excited, and we always talk about the coming of the Lord, and we know that he's going to come as a thief in the night. We know he's going to come when we don't expect him. But there's many children of God that get very uncomfortable when you talk about the coming of the Lord. Why would we get uncomfortable when someone begins to talk about the coming of the Lord? There's many believers that fear the coming of the Lord. And I would have to assume, I would have to think, the reason that people get fearful and nervous about the coming of the Lord, even those that say they're believers, is because they're really not ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. You need to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Because if you're prepared for the coming of the Lord, you're going to have a perfect peace. It doesn't matter what happens. If the economy crashes, you know, it's sustained right now, and some say it's really crashed years ago, and they just keep supporting and holding it up and putting crutches under it by throwing more money into it. But what happens if it becomes a reality, and it could happen this quick? You wake up tomorrow, and whatever money you have, it's only worth half of its value. If you have $100, you're going to get $50 for that. That would shake a lot of people. But if something like that were to happen, we as children of God, we can still have a peace about us because we know that ultimately God is in control. Amen. And when God is in control, and He is in control, there isn't nothing going to happen that God does not permit it to happen. And if He permits it to happen, it's for a reason. Something's going on, but we want this perfect peace. And so last week we looked at a couple of things, amen, that can help us to have that perfect peace. Amen. And the first thing we talked about last week was about what we feed ourselves, what we fill ourselves with. We have to be picky about that. We have to be careful about that. We don't have perfect peace because our mind isn't stayed on Jesus. It's about everything else. And then when we get into a situation that we don't know what to do, and then we turn around and say, Lord, I'm not sure where you are, but I need you to help me in this situation. Yeah, the Word of God says He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, but we need to be in close communication with Him. And we looked last week also at the importance of being in the Word of God and reading the Word of God consistently. And we looked at spending that and having that secret place in prayer with God. Amen. Spending time with God in that secret place. That is what will bring peace to you. That is what will keep peace in you. That is what will sustain you in these days that we are living. I've heard it said many years ago, amen, it's time to be serious about serving God. This just isn't something, I hope you're not doing it because it's just the right thing to do. We go to church on Sunday because it's the right thing to do. I hope that you're rooted and grounded and anchored in Jesus. Amen. Because the storms of life are coming. Amen. It's on the horizon. Some of them are even beginning now. And so we need to learn to have that secret communication with God, to be in that secret place with Him. He would come down into the Garden of Eden after creation in the cool of the day. And He came down because He wanted to communicate with man. Somebody says God don't have any needs. Yeah, there's a need that God has, and a need that God has is He wants to communicate with man. Not with animals, but He wants to commune with man. He wants to talk to man. He wants man to talk to Him. He wants there to be a back and forth. And that's one of the needs that God has. And so He reaches down and find that secret place in God. Amen. The importance of that. And the next one that we're going to look at, I'm going over to Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 18 says this. Ephesians 6:18. It's a real, not a real long verse. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. If we remember, we're talking about that perfect peace and keeping that perfect peace. We need to pray continually in the Spirit. It says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being mindful of Him, being prayerful, amen, about situations that come up in our life. Amen. speaking in tongues. We've been studying that in Sunday school, praying in the Spirit. Amen. As we pray in the Spirit, it causes us to be aware of the Spirit of God. Amen. When you're out there and about, if the wind's not blowing, you're not aware that it's even out there. But when you see that wind begin to blow, you know that the wind is out there. You can't see it. There's many times in our lives that we're not aware of the Spirit of God because there's no big stirring, there's no big moving, but He is always there. And then when He begins to work in our lives and the winds of the Spirit begin to blow, amen, then we know that He's there. We need to be aware of the Spirit of God. Amen. We need to learn to pray in the Spirit. This is foreign to a lot of people, even foreign to a lot of Pentecostal people. You need to learn to pray in tongues. We're talking about that also here on Wednesday nights. Just this past Wednesday, we were looking at the doctrine of speaking in tongues, the importance of doing that. Amen. It's important that you pray in tongues. Some even go so far as to say it's important that you pray in tongues every day. When it comes to this tongues talking business, there's a lot of Pentecostal people and even some church leaders, amen, that are now and have been in the past, that think the only time you can pray in the Spirit and in tongues is when you get into the house of God and God's Spirit begins to move, and then it leads into that plateau and place where you begin to speak in another tongue, amen, but you can get that heavenly language from the Lord, amen, that you can pray in tongues every day, amen. Stirring up that faith which is in us, amen, which was given on us by the laying on of hands, praying in the Holy Ghost. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2, it talks about a heavenly language. I don't understand the words, but I know that the Holy Spirit, amen, within me is cooperating with me in prayer. Do you ever, have you ever had a situation you don't know how to pray about it? You don't know what would be the right thing. You don't even know what you want to ask God for because you don't know what direction the situation should go. That's a good time to be able to pray in tongues. Amen. You just start out in your English words and you're praying, God, you see this situation. It's out of my control. I know what I would like to see happen, but I want you to have your way. And as you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, as you're praying, and then He can take you into another tongue, which is not known unto any man, but it's only known unto God, and you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, you're hitting the nail right on the head on exactly what should be done, amen, or what God needs to do in that situation. That will help you to have a perfect peace because you know that God's got this. Ephesians chapter 5, amen, just backing up one chapter, we're talking about having that perfect peace from God and how to maintain that. This one here is a tough one. Ephesians 5:18. There's a lot of people that don't have that perfect peace from God because they're whining and complaining all the time. How can you have a perfect peace if everything's wrong all the time? Everything's just doom and gloom. There's nothing to be thankful for, nothing to be happy about. What's the Word of God say? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18, 19, and 20. Amen. We thank God for everything. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We're talking about having that peace, that perfect peace. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Giving thanks always for all things. There's just a song. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Oh, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. There's so many songs that can come to you in scriptures from the Bible. It can just come out like a song within your heart. God wants us to be that way. In everything give thanks. And that's 1 Thessalonians 16 through 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm talking about having a perfect peace. Next time you're tempted to complain about something, and sometimes we think, rightfully so, I have a reason that I can complain, amen, and show my upsetness about a certain situation. We are going to learn to give thanks unto the Lord. God, I don't know what you're trying to do here. I don't know what's going on here. And it's not wrong to talk to God like this. Lord, I don't like this situation that I'm facing. I am not going to complain about it. And you're going to help me get through this situation. And I sure wish you would give me some understanding as to why I'm going through what I'm going through. God, help me. You could make this a prayer. God, help me to have a grateful heart. If you have a grateful heart, then you're going to be able to live in that perfect peace. Amen. Having that grateful heart. We are to give thanks at all times for everything. It's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thanking God continually will make us appreciate everything. God, I thank you for this day. If we go out there and it's snowing, and I don't think it's going to be, and this week we're going to get some really cold weather for this time of the year. You might see a little bit of that white stuff. You might see some freezing rain. Amen. You're not going to mumble and complain. You're just going to thank God. Amen. Continually. It'll make us appreciate everything he has done for us. And then we sing that song for me. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. We as people tend to always look at the what we don't have, and we become very unappreciative, and we begin to complain instead of looking at all of the things that we have, looking at the point that we are in our life and how gracious and good God has been to us and has sustained us and kept us to this point in our life. We're just looking at the next hurdle that we have to face, and we whine and complain, but we need to thank God for everything that he has done for us. Amen. We learn to appreciate what God's doing for us. It'll help us to keep our hearts fixed on who he is and that he is faithful. And then when you hear that hymn and you hear songs like Great is thy faithfulness, it's going to send a chill down your spine, because you're going to begin to think about how faithful and grateful that you are, and how grateful God is to you, and how thankful that you are. You're going to thank God for his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. It's going to be fixed on him. And so what's probably the number one reason that people complain? It's because their mind isn't fixed on God. In the Old Testament, Moses was leading the children of Israel from Egypt to Israel. And that should have been, if I'm not mistaken, approximately about maybe less than this. But I like my little analogy. It should have been done in about 40 days. They should have been able to make that trip. It took them 40 years. Why did it take them 40 years? Because the people that he was leading, their mind wasn't fixed on God. And they got out there in that wilderness and they said words almost like I'm going to quote here. Would to God we would have died whenever we were in this wilderness. Did you bring us out here to die? We were better off when we were in captivity and we were slaves over in Egypt. At least we had good food to eat over there. And Moses, you brought us out here to kill us for to die. Their mind wasn't fixed on God. How quickly they forgot what God had done for them. And you look at that and you think, well, I would have been a grateful person. If you know the whole story, is they were leaving the land of Egypt and they come up against that Red Sea, and there was a mountain on this side and a mountain on that side, and they were stuck in between, and the sea was in front of them, and Pharaoh's army was coming behind them, and God delivered them. He parted that sea so that they crossed over on dry ground, and then after they were all safely over and Pharaoh's armies were in the midst of that sea, the waves come over them, and they died there in that sea. And just not so many years ago, guess what they found in the bottom of the Red Sea? They found remnants of chariots and wheels from chariots and things that would account for the story that says what happened there, that they went into those waters and they were devoured by those waters. But those same people, not so many years afterwards, were ungrateful. They was wondering where God was. They was wondering wondering if God could provide for them. Amen. And so the main reason people is complain, because their mind isn't fixed on God. If the children of Israel, if their minds would have been fixed on God, they would have been thankful no matter what situation they were facing. And it comes the same way with us. We have to keep our minds fixed on God. So the best way to be thankful, amen, is to stop complaining. Next time you're tempted to complain, don't complain. Have you ever heard the phrase, yeah, that one, they're a chronic complainer. Whine, 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 moan, moan, moan. There's never anything good. There's never anything right. Amen. And so if you want to learn to be a thankful person, stop complaining. And we as believers need not complain. Amen. Because when we don't complain, it'll help us keep our minds stayed on God, to think of all that He has done for us. And there's another hymn that has these words in it. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. Amen. I can get to heaven with a sick body, but I can't get there with a sick soul. Amen. My heart needs to be right with God. Your heart needs to be right with God. I can get to heaven if I don't have any money in my bank account. I can get to heaven if I'm deep in debt. And it doesn't mean I'm going to get to heaven just because I have a lot of money in my bank account. I don't have any debt. I did real well on this earth. Amen. The condition of our soul is what matters. Amen. All that He's done for us, He has forgiven our sins. He has not treated us the way that we deserve to be treated. Amen. He's given us that life eternal filled with Him. And then He gave us the gift of the Spirit. When Jesus left, He could have just been gone and said, good luck, boys. I hope that you can make it in this world. But He didn't do that. He says, hey, I'm going away from you, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send another unto you, which He was speaking of the Holy Spirit, and He will be a comfort to you, and He will lead you, and He will guide you into all truth. Amen. We have the Spirit of God. He gave that to us. Thank God that He gave us His Word. And we were talking about it this morning in Sunday school. The Word of God keeps going and going. Generation to generation to generation. It, very early in the book of Acts, they were trying to stop this message of the gospel, trying to stop this good news that this Jesus, amen, was the Messiah, is the Messiah, that He rose from the grave, that He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, that He's making intercession for you and me. They tried that in the book of Acts very early on. They tried to quiet them down, talking about it in Sunday school this morning. They begin to persecute people that were talking in the name of the Lord and said that they were doing these things, and these miracles were done through the power from this Jesus of Nazareth. It cut them to the heart, and there was persecution that came upon them, and it has happened with every generation. They have tried to stop this gospel, and then they've come up over the years, and you can read the history of it. I don't have the history written down right here. Don't have it really great in my mind to be able to relate all of it. And there's papers that have been written about it, but they have tried to stop the printed Word of God. They would think if we could just get Bibles away from people, we could shut all this nonsense up, and we would live in a better world. But they haven't been able to quiet this Word. They haven't been able to stop this Word. Amen. God's Word is forever. Amen. It is forever established in heaven. God protects His Word. Amen. There's nobody that's going to stop the Word of God. Amen. The governments of this world don't like the Word of God. They don't like Christians. Why is that? Because we elevate the Word of God above them. This is the supreme authority. We are to live within the laws of the land as much as we're able to. But when the laws of the land start coming against what the Word of God says, and then I would rather obey the Word of God than to obey men. We don't do what men say when it comes against the Word of God. We should be grateful that God has given us His Word. Amen. I'm talking about a perfect peace. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. Amen. And so we continually thank Him. To give continual thanks unto God should be an easy thing to do. Don't ever blame your troubles upon God. There's people that do that. Why would God allow that? That's a good question. And if you start to really analyze those situations and look at the deep situation when you have a question like that, it's always because man has not acknowledged God. Man has rejected God's word. Man has rejected to do it the way God wants. And then therefore, because of our rejection of God, we're in the mess that we're in today. Our country, this world, is in the mess it's in today because they reject God. They're still rejecting God today. We read about it in the book of Acts this morning. Well, that's terrible. It was just a fear rejecting. For the generally speaking, all nations of the world are rejecting God. They're rejecting God. We're going to do it our own way. But our acknowledgement of God and our acceptance of Him, amen, will help us to have that perfect peace. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 18 and 19. Amen. I already read these ones, but we'll read them again. We're talking about a perfect peace. We should sing praises often. When's the last time you just sang a praise unto God? Amen. You just sang a praise unto God. You just broke out in a praise. It doesn't have to be any written song that you already know. There were just praises that came out of your mouth. Amen. And it says, don't be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but rather with that, be filled with the Spirit to have this perfect peace. And then speaking to yourselves. In other words, it's okay to talk to yourself. It's okay to talk to yourself. And what do you do that in? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. God wants us to do that. Amen. Paul's prayer life, it's recorded in Scripture, consisted of a lot of singing. Singing unto the Lord, making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Amen. Colossians 3:16. Amen. Also another Scripture, but psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing. What happened in Acts 16 and 25? Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns at midnight. They were in jail. They were in prison. Their backs had been laid open. They had been beaten for the sake of the gospel, for preaching the gospel. And at the midnight hour, what were they doing? They had a perfect peace. They weren't in there whining and moaning. This isn't right. This is unjust. You know, we serve God all these years, and then He lets this go and happen to us. I don't know if I'm going to serve Him anymore. If I get out of here, I think I'm not going to serve Him anymore. They weren't that way. They were just singing and making melody in their hearts to the Lord at the midnight hour. And I think because they were doing that, because they had a grateful heart and a grateful attitude, there was an earthquake and the prison doors opened. Sometimes we don't receive the answers that we're looking for because we don't have a grateful heart. We don't like the situation we're in, and rightfully so. Paul and Silas didn't like the situation they were in. Who would want to be in stocks and bonds and have been beaten with whips? But yet they were singing and making melody in their hearts unto the Lord. And there's been a lot of sermons preached about this over the years. These men had perfect peace. And singing is worshiping. And it helps one have an attitude of worship throughout the day. Now, I don't know about you, but there's many times when I go into work, the couple of days a week that I have to work, when I go in early in the morning, I'll be going into work, and there's just a song rolling around in my head. You ones that go to school, it should be that way. And it should be a Christian song, okay? Not some worldly song that's just thrashing through your head. Amen. God can give you a song in the night. Amen. And that has significance to it. When you're going through the darkest hour of your life, you're going through a hard time, you're going through a sad time, you just have a thankful song within your heart and within your soul. Why? Because your mind is fixed on Him. You have that perfect peace. And so Paul and Silas were at a midnight hour, and a midnight hour is looked at as a dark hour. They were in a dark hour, and they were singing and making melody in their hearts unto the Lord. Amen. My dear preacher friend, brother, that just lost his child this week, that 13-year-old boy that he lost due to an accident. Amen. Some of the postings he's been making on Facebook, he's still singing and making melody in his heart unto the Lord. He's not doomed despair and agony of heart. Poor me, woe is me. I've reached the end. Is there even a God out there accusing God? Why did God let this happen? He has a perfect peace in his situation. How is that possible? Because in his midnight hour, he turned to God. Amen. We're all going to face dark hours in our life. And maybe some of you are facing dark hours right now. What are you going to do when you're facing those dark hours? Are you going to start pointing your finger at God? God, why are you letting this happen to me? I thought you were more powerful than this. This shouldn't be going on with us. Paul and Silas could have easily said that. They were out proclaiming the gospel. They were doing what they should be doing. And yet they were locked up in a prison and they were beaten. But they sang and gave praises unto God. Amen. And so singing, that's a way of worshiping. And it'll help us have an attitude of worship throughout the day. Oh, I worship you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your kindness. God is good. Amen. The enemy has nothing good for me. God has nothing but good for me. Amen. We're talking about having a perfect peace from God. Amen. Another way we can do that. We're going over to the next book here. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We pray to have a perfect peace. Pray for people as often as you can. Instead of cursing people, instead of wishing evil upon somebody, instead of they deserve that, they had it coming to them. If we want to have a perfect peace, we need to pray for people often. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy. A great habit to get into. A great habit to get into. Amen. When you meet someone new, a new acquaintance, pray for them. Pray for them. You might not know much about them, but begin to pray for them. And have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about this? When you're driving down the road, don't have road rage, okay? And sometimes, but I'm about to say, you might be able to find some humor in it. Amen. Have you ever thought about praying for those people that's in that car in front of you? Praying for the people that are in the car behind you? They have a soul. They're going to live forever, either in heaven or in hell. And there's nothing wrong. God touched those people. Don't know if they're Christians or not. If they're not, God, let somebody get to them, awaken. Let the Spirit move in their heart. Draw them into the kingdom of God. And the ones behind you, it's okay to do that. Amen. And when you think of a believer, pray for them. You think of a believer. You've heard the old timer say it this way. I don't know what it was. But and they'll tell people this personally. But this week, you really came strong to my mind. And they might even tell you a certain day and a certain time. And you begin to think, yeah. You might not say it to them, but you're thinking, that was a bad day for me. Things weren't going good about that time. Pray for people when they come to mind. I don't go every day of this week thinking about every one of you all the time, but once in a while, one of you will come strong to my mind. I need to pray for you. If somebody comes strong to your mind, pray for them. This will help stay in a perfect peace with God. Amen. You'll be in a perfect peace. And I pray that when I'm going through things difficult, that God puts my name on somebody's mind and they begin to pray for me. You've heard one say, I don't know what it is, but I just couldn't get you off of my mind. It's God speaking to us. Pray for them. Amen. And that will help you grow in your relationship with God. You will be closer to Him. Amen. And it'll help you to open their eyes. It'll help people open their eyes up to the gospel. People need prayer. People need prayer. People that you know, they need prayer. I need prayer. Everybody in here needs prayer. Everybody you come in contact with, they need prayer. We need to be a praying people. Amen. The world, what's it doing? It's dying and it's going to hell. And there are believers who aren't living and following Jesus as they should. Just playing around with this religious thing. There's people dying and going to hell, and we're not serious about serving God. Wonder why we don't have perfect peace? Because we're not concerned about others like God would want us to be concerned about others. Amen. I want this perfect peace that comes with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Amen. We're talking about getting this perfect peace, getting it to work in my mind and in my soul and in my heart. I want to live in this perfect peace. I don't want it to be just something that they talk about down at the church. I don't want it to be something that's just talked about in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Oh, that all sounds good and wonderful, but it's not possible to have. It's possible to have a perfect peace. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. If you want to be in that perfect peace, you need to spend time with born-again believers. Corrupt communications, it says this, don't be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Bad company is going to corrupt good characters. I mean, we have a lot of young ones in here this morning. If you keep bad company, it's going to corrupt good characters. Your parents teach you what's right, and you get out there and you have friends that all of a sudden you realize they're not talking right. That's not the way it should be. If we continue to be friends with them, pretty soon we're going to be just like them, is what the Word of God is telling us. So if we want to have that perfect peace with God, amen, we have to be careful about who our friends are, about who we spend time with. It's very important. Why wouldn't you want to spend time with people who encourage you? I want to be around people that when I go away from them, man, I feel lifted up. I feel good. And we all have those people that when we get around them and we leave, we feel worse. It's like, wow, I don't feel so good now. I feel pretty bad. Hang around with people. Keep company with people, amen, who will encourage you and challenge you to go after God, that are going to challenge you. Have you been to church? When's the last time you were to church? When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you gave a gospel tract to somebody? When's the last time you witnessed to somebody about Jesus? Those that are going to encourage you with God, amen, that is going to help you have that perfect peace. Amen. Spend time with people that are centered around the Lord. Spend time with Christian people. It's essential for your Christian walk. No, he doesn't want us to go live in a community somewhere, and we're going to start some kind of a thing here where we're going to make rooms in this building, and we're going to live here forever. We're going to go over to our church campground. We're going to cut communication off from the outside world, and it's just going to be us believers here all the time. No, God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be in this world, but not of this world. But we have to learn to spend time with people that are centered around the Lord. Amen. I want to be around somebody that has a lot of zeal for the Lord. I want to be around people that are excited about serving the Lord. I don't want to be around whiners and complainers and moaners and groaners. Amen. That doesn't give me a perfect peace. I want to be around someone that's excited about the serving the Lord. Amen. It's the same time. People are spending time with those that don't know God. In their company, being around them will corrupt your good character. You can't do it. It doesn't mean that you don't go and do things in this world. We have to, but we don't spend the majority of our time around those that are unbelievers. Amen. You can spend time with unbelievers, but the people you should spend most of your time with should be believers, those of like precious faith. It's very important. All you kids here, I hope you go to school. If you're not, I'm going to turn you into the state of Pennsylvania. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. Okay? Y'all go to school. You can't help who's in school. You spend time with those kids. But as much as you can when you're not in school, you spend time with believers. You're in school. Find other kids that's your age that are believers too, that believe in this gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's the same way in a work environment. When you're in that work environment, us adults, you can find others that are in that work environment that you're in that are believers. Spend time around them. Amen. Let that rub off on each other. That'll keep you in a perfect peace. I don't want to be pulled down with the weights of this world. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. We're talking about having a perfect peace, and God wants us to have a perfect peace. And there was something here that we need to do, and you might not have ever thought about it this way, but I'm going to give you a challenge here this morning. If you're having trouble having a perfect peace, there can be times in your life where you just need to take a short break. Focus on God. Focus on God. I got to get my ducks in order. I got to focus on God. because the pressures are coming in from the left hand, from the right hand, from in front of me, from behind me, and I'm losing focus here. We need to stop and focus on God. Luke 5, 15 and 16. So much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. We need to take those short breaks in our life. Amen. We need to stop. You need to stop in your busy life and become aware of God. And become aware that God is still there. Because if you don't do that, you're going to forget that he's there. You're going to start to take things on yourself and do things on your own. You're not even going to acknowledge God. So here Jesus took a break. Jesus, what he was doing here was protecting his relationship with God from the busyness of life. And he was busy doing good things. You can read that up through there. Just prior, he had healed a man that was a leper. And there was people following him, and they wanted to touch him. They wanted to get a miracle. They wanted a healing. And he just, what did he do? He withdrew himself. He pulled himself away from those places and from those people because he wanted to protect his relationship with God. We should do the same thing. And what is that? Amen. We got to protect our relationship with God from busyness. We're all busy. We're all very busy. Anybody have a week that you just had so many hours this week? In fact, it was pretty boring for you. It was the longest week you ever lived. There was nothing for you to do every day. There was no reason to get up. You had nothing scheduled for the day. No, we don't live life that way. Life is very busy, but we need to stop in the busyness of life. Amen. And go away into that secret place and pray. Amen. Take a moment. Take a break. Take a short break and focus on God. God, I got to pull away from the busyness of life. I have to stop and pray. Amen. And the last one that we're going to look at, I believe it's in Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3, verses 17 and 23. We're talking about having a perfect peace. We have to do all things as unto the Lord. Oh, that's easier said than done. I don't always have a perfect peace when I'm at work, because when I turn and start doing things just to please my employer, I don't have peace about it. It's like, why do I got to do this? I can mumble and moan and groan. But when I do all things as unto the Lord and not unto men, it makes a difference. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. In verse 23, and whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Talking about a perfect peace. Whatever job it is that you have, you know, I work up at the Lutheran home, I'm not doing that for them, because that's going to take my peace away. I'm doing that for God. Whatever your job is, you're not doing it for them. Amen. Sister Oaks works over at Subway. She's not doing it for them. She's probably never going to please them completely. She's doing it unto the Lord. She wants a perfect peace. Amen. There's another one here that works in the school system. You're down there. You're never going to please them complete satisfaction. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. I'm here to please the Lord. Whatever employment that you have, wherever you work, you do it as unto God and not unto men to have that perfect peace. Amen. And so when we do a chore, and there's many chores that we do, and children also, amen, you might not like to classify yourself as a child, but if you're not 18 years of age yet, classified as a child, amen, by the definition of the law. So when you're doing a chore, instead of just doing the chore, ask God to help you do it with him. And while I'm doing this, let me learn to worship you. Much better. You're going to live in a perfect peace. Then while doing the chore, talk with him and worship him. Oh, I worship you, Lord. Amen. And I praise you, Lord. Pastor Eastman told of an incident he had in the Dominican Republic one time. Somebody was out there early in the morning. Amen. Some lady was out there, and down there they sweep their yards out because it's all dirt. Amen. And they keep it nice, and they have these homemade brooms, and the leaves come down and different things gather. And she's out there early in the morning, got a refrigerator in her house. There might only be a pitcher of water in there. There's no food in the house, but she's out there cleaning that patio. Mateo out, and she's singing praises unto God, making melody in her heart unto the Lord, grateful for another day that God has given her. She had a perfect peace within her heart, and you would look and think there's no reason for her to be as happy as she is. She was making melody in her heart unto the Lord when she was doing, amen, the thing that needed to be done that day. Some things are chores. Chores is something that you gotta do, you don't necessarily want to do. I'm talking about a perfect peace. The next time you have to do a chore, give thanks and make melody in your heart unto the Lord. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. As Sister Bonnie could come down, I want to sing this chorus this morning. And we shared this last week and hit a couple points and finished it up this week. But we're going to sing that chorus, peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. And as we're singing this, if there's anybody here this morning, and you don't have to tell me what it is, and there's something going on that you don't have a peace about it, you're just not feeling good about it. In fact, it's pulling you down a little bit, and it's just weighing on you. I want you to come and stand at this altar, and I'm going to pray with you that God can give you that perfect peace. You just know it's going to be okay. You don't know how it's going to all work out, but you just know. You just know that you know that it's going to be okay. Why? Because you have that perfect peace from God. Amen. So sing this unto the Lord this morning. If anybody wants me to pray with you, you can come down. Oh,